Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, your host. Most of you probably know that. But for those who don't, I am a singer-songwriter with over 50 million streams on the songs that I've written and climbing all the time. And I also help coaches launch podcasts that only take them 1 hour a week to manage and that get them leads and clients and create a bunch of their content for them. So on this episode, I interviewed somebody with an incredibly successful podcast. And I did this because I think that a lot of times it's best to just like get it straight from the source. And this is a person who has really put in the work to grow an amazing podcast. And the whole show is really built on his personality. So it's a very aligned podcast too. Like he's not faking it. He's not pretending to be somebody he's not. And his name is Tracy Brinkman. His podcast is called The Dark Horse Entrepreneur. And it's almost about to hit 1 million downloads. It's already passed 1 million downloads of uncertified downloads, but the certified downloads are about to hit 1 million. So he really knows his stuff. He's over 400 episodes in. He's worked with a coach to get here. He has a very, very niche and well-defined audience. I asked him how long it took for his downloads to start taking off. I asked him what he did that really moved the needle and a whole bunch of other stuff. He's a really good guy. He shared some great insights. He's been doing this for a long time, since 2007. This is his second podcast. Anyways, dig into this. Take some notes if you want. There's going to be some really valuable stuff in here. And if you like what you hear, I just want you to know that I put so much effort and love into this podcast. And all that I really would ask you to do is maybe leave a review on either Apple or Spotify, wherever you're listening. Makes a huge difference. It also just allows me to see that people are actually listening and enjoying the content that I'm really working hard to put together. So if you could do that, I'd really appreciate it. But anyways, now let's get into the episode. Welcome to Oh My Pod, Tracy. What's up, man?
Man, I'm glad to be here. We have chatted quite a bit online and I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. I've been able to get a few lucky people onto your podcast.
Yes.
As guests. And
I think I'm lined up for about 2 months now, to be honest.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, right? That's great. There's always people. Yeah, there's always always people looking to go into podcasts. So, and your podcast is one that I am very proud to be able to offer people to go onto, because you've had some major success. And I think in a lot of ways you have a show that, you know, it's kind of like, this is why people want to start a podcast, is they want something like what you've got going on. So the whole episode really is going to be just me trying to figure out for myself what you did and what worked. Podcast growth, like even within the people who do it professionally, like there's still all kinds of like interesting, unique little ways, and some things work for some people and don't work for others. And so, yeah. So just to kind of set the stage, what are some of the key metrics of your podcast that we can use to measure the size?
Let's see. Are we talking about like downloads and everything? Is that what we're talking about?
If we want to be basic, we can totally use downloads. Yeah, sure. Downloads.
So, I mean, as of today, we're at 9,998. What they call IAB downloads, right? So those are all those ones that are approved by IAB. We're talking about uniques, you know, we're at 1.1 million. So I like to go by that IAB because, you know, some of the metrics are in there, hey, you come in there for 5 seconds, that could count on one side and not the other. So we're just about to hit that million mark. I'm probably seeing 2,000-ish downloads per episode. I'm 400 plus episodes in at this point. And I think on average, I'm probably hitting in the 300 to 500 range in the first 7 days of an episode. So it goes out pretty strong. And then obviously some of them have longer legs than others. And I think that's one of the cool things, is if you can get good content out there, they don't need to see it the day that it drops. You know, they could see it a month or two or a year later and they're like, wow, this is the next thing since sliced bread. And then they check out your other stuff.
Totally. So you're around like 990,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's 998. I got it right here. 998, okay. 139 is as of right now.
Cool. And those are the certified downloads. So that is a great number to measure for sure. But the other way, if you measure it, the total, like, you know, bulk of everything, then you're well above 1 million, which is great. Yeah. So holy 400 something episodes. Well, first of all, why did you even start the podcast in the first place? Like, why did you sit down and decide that you were going to make this kind of commitment to creating this content?
You know, it's funny is this is actually my second podcast, and the other one is all about personal development. And I kind of focus in, even in that arena, on my entrepreneurs, because I've always been an entrepreneur right out of the gate. So that's That's kind of my people. So when I started this one, I thought I'm going to make one all about all the amazing learnings that I've had across my diverse career. I mean, I've worked for Coca-Cola, Home Depot, you know, David's Bridal, Victoria's Secret, on top of having my own array of clients, right? And so you get to know a lot about the analog and the digital in this space. So I thought, let me come on and share some of that knowledge and then pick the brains of some of the people I've been lucky enough to be connected with before I started the podcast. And then as the podcast grew, I got connected with more folks, right? And so it just, it kind of built like that. So I figured I wanted to go in and let people know that you can be an entrepreneur if you have the metal, right? Because it's not like something you're going to, oh, I'm going to do these five steps and I'm going to be rich overnight. Okay. There are those stories out there. Let's be honest. But I don't think that's not works for everyone. You're going to have to go in there. You're going to put some rubber on the road. You're going to break some knuckles. You're going to crack some skin. And I wanted to get that message out there with a little mix of personal development. And I call it some of my own dark horse flair. I mean, I've had some unique thoughts across my 60 plus years on this big blue spinning globe. So I like dropping them in there every once in a while. And all at the same time, I want folks to learn to be you. That's what they want. That's what they're going to connect with. I don't care who you are or what niche you're in or how boring you might seem or how exciting you might seem. There's somebody that resonates with you as long as you're being you. And trust me, the fake radar, you know, the fake R, people have it and it's really fine tuned, especially I think since 2020, right?
Okay, so that's cool. So now we have a picture of the show. We kind of know the size. So what I want to know is, and I'm sure what people are going to be wondering is, how long did it take you before you were actually seeing results? Like, how many episodes did you go through where it was like, you know, 10 downloads, 20 downloads, or did it pick up early? Like, what was the trajectory?
I was lucky enough, and I had some pretty market savvy wisdom going behind me between myself and, you know, I came out of the gate. I went in with this podcast with a coach. I didn't want to mess around. I had been, like I said, this is my second podcast. I've been podcasting since 2007. So it wasn't new to me, but launching a new show in that environment, you know, 4 years ago was new to me. So I went with a coach. And so I had a small group of folks that were going along in this group coaching opportunity with me. So that gave me a little bit of oomph because we were going and checking out each other's podcasts. So right out of the gate, Apple saw a little activity. So they would show you to a little more folks. And so I was seeing some decent numbers, you know, a couple hundred, even 1,000 a week, which a lot of folks would be like, oh my God, I would love to do that.
That's great. Yeah.
See, it wasn't until about 2 years later, and this started it right in the pandemic, right? It was like August 2020 before everything kind of blew up. And it was about, I'd say November, December of 2022 when I really started to see my numbers take this glide path of upward trajectory. So, you know, there was easily almost 2 years invested at that point.
So tell me then, how do you see, like, where do you see the evidence of this new audience that's coming? Like, where are you connecting with them somehow? Like, are you, because I think that's a big problem with podcasting that a lot of people struggle with is getting an idea of who the heck is actually listening and communicating with them and building. So like, who is your audience? Like, how do you know that they're there?
Well, that's kind of a mixed bag in that answer right there. Cause when I first started this particular podcast, I was focused on entrepreneurs, he says with, right, that's big, not niching down. And then about 8-10 months into that, I thought, you know what, that's too broad. And I went down to digital entrepreneurs, still a big audience, still not very niche. And I saw a bit of a lift because now at least I was focusing on those folks that were trying to make money online or through some digital aspect. Again, still too broad. And then I niched down again, oh gosh, 8 months ago or so. And this happened as a result of me engaging with the folks, both on social media, as well as, you know, through emails as they'd be sending them in. And I started noticing a parental pattern that most of the folks that I was engaging with were a parent trying to make ends meet with a side hustle, right? They hadn't dove full force into the entrepreneurial sphere, but they were trying to make a little extra cash, you know, drop shipping or Amazon or Etsy, all these different, you know, affiliate marketing. I thought, okay, that's where I'm going to start reining in, because I am a parent. I got three beautiful daughters, and I know the struggles of balancing your work life with your family life and trying to keep things all in motion while you're, I mean, one of my daughters was a competitive cheerleader, so we were traveling all the time. So how do you make all these things mix? So I then started tailoring, and I spent an episode explaining, okay, everyone, if you're listening, here's what we're going to do. And I told everyone listening, I'm going to start focusing on my parental entrepreneurs. The rest of you, you'll still get value out of this, but you're going to be hearing extra tidbits of why this is important as a parent. You know, so the single folks out there, they wanted to hang around. They're still going to get the value, but my parents were going to get that extra layer of, you know, icing on top of the cake.
So many things that you just said there, but I want to focus on two things specifically. I like to, like you just said, that you do for the parent to add the extra tidbits in. I add tidbits in for my people too, because as I'm picking things up, I like to reiterate what I'm really getting. And what I'm getting is, number one, your podcast doesn't necessarily need to be at its end game when you first start it. It is a dynamic platform that you own 100%, that you have full capability to change. And then, actually, no, I'm going to change it to three things I picked up. So that was number one. Number two is that when you do change, you actually took the step to, like, you went out in front of your audience and you said, listen, I know that this might be annoying for some of you, and this is not a super comfortable thing to do, but I am going to change the show up a little bit. And, you know, you people who are here, you know, the younger people who are here looking for, this might not be so much your show anymore, but, you know, I'm focusing on these people now, and I'm going to help these people as much as possible. And yeah, the smaller, and then the last thing that I picked up there was, the smaller the pond, the bigger, the more space you can take up in it, and the more place you can have in people's hearts. And I've been thinking about this more and more recently as we're launching more podcasts. It's like, podcasting is a medium. I like to think about it this way. It's like, if you can create a space that is unique to your podcast, that your podcast is really the only one in existence that serves this group of people, you can hold a spot in people's mind completely and utterly taken up by you, because nothing else exists. And you can make them feel so comfortable and so taken care of in this space that they'll continue to come back simply because you provide them with comfort, you provide them with answers, you provide them with support. And there really is nothing else like that on the internet for them. And that's why it's so important to create your, you know, your one of one show. Like, get small. So, whole bunch of great stuff there. And I think that just reiterates what a lot of people are saying right now, which is like, the way to get the bigger audience is to aim for the smaller group of people, which is like a little bit counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, it's very counterintuitive. And I would add one more thing in there that I didn't mention is, I went through the journey of this show. One of the things I was doing is, like so many others, like you're doing yourself, is I was doing a series of interviews. But what I would do is, instead of just, hey, there it is, put a beginning, put an intro, and put an exit. At the end of the interview, I would, you know, add my thoughts, right? Maybe you and I spent 30 minutes together on my show doing the interview. Well, then I would add another maybe 5-10 minutes of, like you're doing right now, you're saying, here's what I gained out of this. But I would do it at the end of it. So it almost became, I'm bringing an expert on to share their expertise. But at the end of my own show, I'm reiterating the fact that you came here for my expertise, and here's my little spice that I'm adding at the end of the show. And then about 2 months in, I started adding solo shows, you know, one or two a week. And what I was noticing is the downloads for the solo shows were almost double the interview shows, which, you know, if everybody was doing it, someone's like, okay, I've heard this interview, whatever, you know. And so what I started doing is I started getting far more particular in who I was bringing on the show, right? Because then I just, hey, if you like my solo stuff, let me go ahead and just drop the bombs that I know, and then just keep right on going with what starts to resonate. So it was really growing into my own comfort and then watching the numbers and going, okay, well, I'm going to keep doing it this way. I didn't stop doing the interviews because I loved being able to connect with other folks. And usually even going on someone else's podcast would spark like 3 or 4 episode ideas in my mind. So I would just jot those notes down and then just go and record them later.
Yeah, totally. That is the thing that I have heard so many times now, is that solo episodes are getting more downloads. They have a higher retention rate and they just get better feedback overall. And I just think that that's because the pendulum swung really far with podcasting, where people just kept seeing all these interview shows and they thought, oh, that's what podcasting is. It's interviews. And man, the amount of shows that I've seen that are like, I interview people who I find interesting and we talk about things that are interesting. And it's like, okay, why would I listen to that again? Yeah, right, right. And without a solo episode, like, how are you going to build any kind of connection to your audience? And so what's really interesting that you're saying there is like, you add that piece in at the end, you build that connection, people look forward to your takes on the interview. Therefore, you're doing the interview, but you're also creating the connection with the audience every single time. And they're coming back for you at the end of the day. So that's great. So have you seen, like, does your audience send you messages saying, hey, like, this really helped, or I've started this new side hustle, or, you know, like, do you get the feeling that you're helping a lot of parents with this?
I have. I've gotten a handful of messages on that very topic where, like, hey, I heard this episode that you did about, I did one a few months ago about virtual dinners, which is really a modified Zoom call with multiple participants. And you as the host are doing something unique that is bringing them in. It's not a pitch fest. It's a deliver. They've already paid. It's a deliver value fest. So for instance, this one young lady who is an up and coming mom baker, right? She doesn't have a brick and mortar yet. She doesn't have a digital wall or a digital storefront. She just liked bake. So she wanted to share that with other moms to say, hey, here's how we can, like, she uses it as a stress reducer. And so she was just bringing on and going to do like 2 of her favorite recipes and do like they do on those cooking shows where the finished product was already like in the oven, but she would take them through the pull together process. And then you just catch the questions in the chat and do the whole thing and then show, here's how I finish it off. And it was, and she must have made, like, I want to say it was $24.97. It's almost $3,000 by bringing these folks on for 2 hours to do something she loves. And she got the idea from listening to the show. It's like, oh, it was amazing. She goes, now I need to figure out how you do that celebrity endorsement. And I'm like, well, you got bakers. This is easy. So yeah, people are getting, and that's one of the things I like to do on the show, is not just come on to my show or anyone's show and deliver the same thing that I know your audience has heard 100 times. Otherwise, you could get anybody to do that. Man, Tracy got on the show and he said these 2 things I haven't heard before. That's my goal, no matter where I'm on, whether it's my show or anyone else's, is to be able to deliver something where someone goes, oh, wow. You just make them pause. Whether they take action on it, that's up to them. But if I could just deliver that 1 or 2 moments of wow, then I walk away successful as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I can tell that you really like podcasting too. And that's something that not a lot of people talk about. It's like, you got to actually like doing this as well, right?
It is. You know, because it seems so easy on the surface. And really, don't get me wrong, for anyone that's thinking about it, it is easy, but there's work involved, right? It's like drawing or painting, right? There's some people that are like, this is piece of cake. I could do this all day long, you know, but there's a skill level and there's some patterns you got to kind of get into, and you got to be willing to be uncomfortable. And here's the lesson I want to share that I made a huge mistake with my first podcast. I had started it back in 2007. Like I mentioned earlier, it was a personal development podcast that was kind of pointed towards entrepreneurs, and it had been going along for a number of years, and I had built a decent little audience and actually had monetized it through a paywall. And what it was like 5 episodes a week, 1 each day. On Monday, I always delivered it for free for everybody, right? But at the end of the show on Monday, I would tease Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But the only way you could get those shows was through the paywall. No, it was like $9 a month. No big deal. You know, I wasn't going to get rich off of it, but it paid some bills. Let's be honest. So there was a point in my life where I was going through a wicked, nasty divorce. I had going through a chapter. I mean, my whole life was kind of imploding and I felt like a faker, right? That imposter syndrome that so many of us feel at some point in our life. I hung up my headphones. I said, because I felt internally, I felt like a faker going, hey, here's how to make your life fall. So awesome. Listen to my amazing advice. Meanwhile, my life's falling to caca. So I hung up my headphones while I got myself together, right? Got my life together, met an amazing woman, got financially secure. Everything's rocking and rolling. I pick up that podcast and started a new podcast. Everything's going great. Why is that a mistake, Tracy? Because the amazing journey I went on during those 2 years of being quiet, that podcast still got hundreds of downloads a month, even when I wasn't dropping an episode. If I would have taken the people on the journey of personal development that I was going through to pull myself up out of the divorce, to pull myself up out of feeling like a faker, you know, I could have gone on the microphone and said, guys, here's what's going on. I feel your pain. I am you. And here's how I know that. Right now, as I'm giving you this amazing advice, my life is falling apart. And just been open and honest. But at that, for some reason, I wasn't ready to do that. I started taking them on this journey of the house move, which is a little different. But you get what I'm saying? When you get in a struggle moment, whatever you're going through that is a part of your world, your podcast, your business, share it. Share as much as you're comfortable with and bring the, I mean, you're building that bond even stronger and you're sharing with them something that so many people are afraid to say. Life is shit sometimes. Oh, sorry. I didn't check for cuss words. Anyway,
you can,
you know, no, because you can. It is sometimes life. You stumble, you bump, you fall, you face plant and you got to get back up, wipe the caca off. And move on. You're right. So anyway, sorry.
No, that's a great point. Just like treating your podcast like an actual, like really taking it seriously. The fact that that's your platform and that you're like, rather than just releasing a weekly episode and constantly just, you know, creating content around the thing, there's always opportunities for you to actually get a little bit personal because that's where the real connection is going to get made with people too. So I like that. And I really don't think podcasting is a space that's meant to just be all business all the time. I think that there's tons of opportunities to really create a proper connection with people, obviously. Yeah. So that's really cool. One of the last questions that I'll ask is, I'm sure that people are wondering, is your show now monetized in any way?
It is. It's monetized through the back end products. So for the first 2 years, I never had an ad. I never said, go check out this link. Nothing. I was just putting it out there, trying to build up a core of folks that were even interested in what the bearded old man had to say. And then behind that, I started creating video lessons. I like video. I like audio. And so I started doing that. I found a platform I liked, and I started pointing folks over there. More recently, I'm trying something completely new and I'm doing an audio lead magnet. And think about this for a second. The audience that's listening to us right now, they like audio. They're listening to us on a podcast. I don't know if you do video versions of this as well, but certainly your audience of podcast listeners are going, well, damn. So why do I want to say, go to my website and download the PDF that you'll probably never read. It's going to sit there in your download section of your PC or Mac forever and gather digital dust. So I created what is called the Site Hustler's Blueprint. And when I was done putting in all the content, it was 60 pages long. Now, who's going to read a 60-page PDF? Not very many folks, maybe a couple. So what I did is I turned around and recorded that in, you know, small chunks. So it's probably about 10, 12 episodes long, but it's small bite-sized chunks that someone can get in there and consume while they're working out, whatever normal pattern that they're listening to podcasts out there, they can now consume this, what would have been a PDF. And it, to me, it flows better. It's just like, I'm taking them from an audio platform to an audio platform with a click of a button, right? So I could get back to you on how well that does, because that's been a recent update in the past month.
That's a really cool idea, though. So it's like taking like a more focused like approach to, rather than a podcast, it's like lessons, just straight lessons and just straight. Yeah, that's really cool. I have not heard about that before. And so before, it wasn't really, you didn't have any monetization, really. You were just kind of creating.
I did it through the coaching that I was doing. I had a number of folks call me up and say, hey, I need to learn more about the X. And a lot of the X was podcasting. As some of the other X's were, you talked about, like I said, that, you know, that virtual dinner, and you talked about how to make money with old magazines. How do I do that? I need more detail. And so we would work together one-on-one. And in some cases, I created courses and just started selling them that way.
Yeah, that's one of the, I mean, that's obviously like, that's what we preach to people, is that if you have a business that has an offer of some kind, then your podcast is, you know, you don't need to think about sponsors or think about getting a big company to jump onto your podcast. You can just sponsor your own podcast and yeah.
Yeah, my fear is for my podcast and my platforms is I don't want anyone else telling me what I can or cannot do, can or cannot say, right? And you start getting somebody says, hey, sell my wallet. By the way, you can't talk about this. Well, sorry, it's my platform. And the reason I have it is for that very reason. So if we can't, you know, come to some agreement, then no, thank you. And plus, if I'm sending them over to their website, well, then that's not where I want the traffic to go, right? This is all about me and the folks I bring onto my show. I'm happy to send them over to my guests I have on all day long. Do it all day long. Otherwise, I wouldn't have brought them on the show in the first place.
Yeah, that's the dark side of sponsorship that people don't talk about, is you do lose some control over the podcast. So I hear you there. My last question is going to be one that I ask everybody who has a successful podcast, which is, what is the like number one thing that has moved the needle for your podcast? So like the highest leverage activity or the highest leverage piece of the pie.
I'm going to do two, only because the first one is really fast. The first one, and I think it's almost as important as the one I'm going to go into a little deeper, is be you. I said it earlier. I just wanted to reiterate that your personality needs to come out, whether it's your show or you're appearing on someone else's show. So if you're normally the high energy person, don't go in there and try to be all calm and reserved because you're talking on a business podcast. That's not who you are. And you're going to pull over those slow and, you know, more intellectual kind of folks into your show. And they're going to like you, right? And they're not going to sing. Go ahead. Be you. Put your energy out there. When you put your energy out there, you'll start to attract your tribe as a result. Okay. That aside, where I started to see that big rise all of a sudden, I think it was twofold. It wasn't just the niching down, because when I niched down, I started looking at shows to guest on that those folks that were in that smaller pond would have already been, right? So I went and started tapping into other people's audiences and brought the energy, brought my personality, and those that resonated with me, they came on over and checked me out. And if they liked my stuff on the show, they hung around, right? Whether it was for one episode or 10. So for me, those two things kind of together. And what I did when I did I called it a guesting tour, right? I said, here's what I want to do. I set a goal, and in podcasting is an amazing community, right? You can put the message out there to your world, your little club of podcasters, and say, hey, I want to get on 10 shows. And you'll get on 20, because folks are like, oh yeah, especially if you have a message to share and they click with you. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be in your community anyway. So I did like 3 shows a week for about 4 to 6 weeks, just bam, 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 bam. And there was a couple of weeks I was doing something every single night. It was like, and sometimes it was 2 a night. So there was probably about 50 shows I got in a really compressed period of time. And then they came out, some of them really fast, some of them a little longer. And so there was all of a sudden this wave of folks that were hearing about me and the Dark Horse Entrepreneur and coming over and checking us out either on social media or the actual podcast itself. That's when I saw that first big influx and the rise up And you could see it would level out and I would go on a few more shows and maybe it would rise up and go back down. It would plateau again. So I can't say enough good things about getting on other quality shows. That's the operator there, quality shows.
Yeah, because just getting on any podcast that you can get your hands on is not necessarily a good way to do things. But when you know what your niche is so well, when you know the story and the mission behind your podcast and who you're trying to serve, then it becomes really easy to figure out who to talk to and what kind of shows to try and get on. Like one of our clients she's a mom who helps mothers not just survive but thrive in motherhood. So her audience is moms who are you know, struggling or looking to improve, and that really narrows the kind of shows that you can get on. And what's cool is like when you get in front of a show like that, you have an audience of people who are like really happy to have been introduced to you, because now there's a whole world of solutions that they never knew about before you were here. But you got right in front of them right when they were in the mindset of needing help with that exact thing. And you show up and you're like, oh, I also do this. And then you get a whole influx. Yeah, that's great. All that was great. So many good things in there, man. I think the only other one thing that I would ask, because I know that people would be wondering, just on the logistics side of actually getting onto those podcasts, what exactly did you do to be able to get on to like 50 podcasts in a short amount of time?
It was a combination. Obviously, there's a couple of great Facebook groups that are out there that have a whole host of podcasters in them. You have to watch out. There's a handful of junky ones I've come across, but I know about three or four of them that are just quality and the admins do a great job. And then there's places like Podmatch and then podcast guest list. So a couple of those, the ones like podcast guest list, you're going to spend a few more minutes combing through to find the quality shows. Services like Podmatch and there's another one out there and it's escaping me right now. There's two of them that I used that kind of match you up based off some of the selection criteria you do. And you go to those, and those ones usually were fire because they're like, hey, I'm looking for someone good. Oh, I am someone good. And, you know, usually there's a swap going on in there. And then, like I said, when I started with a coach. So he had a little mini community of podcasters. He had launched multiple different launches over the course of a couple of years. So there was a little mini community in there as well. So between all of those, I was able to bang out some pretty good. What's funny is when you were mentioning, when you know your lane, I would also urge folks to think about their lane adjacent. And this may be more than just your business. So let's say, for example, I just moved on to a farm and I want to start a berry farm. Well, obviously farmers would be one of, you know, a niche I could focus on. Berry farmers, a much smaller niche I could focus on. Fruit farmers. So, you know, so there's these niche adjacents. But think about your story, either your personal story or your business story. So, and the reason I give this example is there were two amazing podcasts I got on. One was True North Men. And another one was Men of Grief. That's not the exact title, but it was like Grieving Dads or something like that. And on both of those, obviously they were very men focused, but because I have this story of, you know, ex-military, I lost an 18-month-old daughter, you know, the whole drug story and the divorce and the, you know, the bankruptcy, all that. Well, there's a lot of men that are dealing with caca in their lives. And, you know, they're like, how do I still be a man and get myself out of this junk and deal with, you know, all that? And coming on a podcast like that and sharing that story and then them saying, oh, by the way, I also have this show and I do these other things on the side. I know I got a number of folks from that because they're like I said, they resonated with me as a person. And then on the grief show, it was, you know, that one was really focused about the loss of my 18-month-old daughter and sharing that and how that impacted my journey as an entrepreneur, as a father, as a man, and just as a person, right? So that brought, I know that brought a number of folks over that were entrepreneurial in mindset, but also had some sort of traumatic loss, you know, and obviously we're men again that came in. So don't think, okay, I make widgets. My podcast guesting has to be all these widget shows. you can, you know, do things adjacent to that, that your story fits. And, you know, you can work in it. Sometimes you gotta get a little creative, but it's really fun to work that creativity in where you can go, hey, Justin, I have a great idea for your show. One last tip. When you go approach a podcaster to be on their show, don't say all the amazing things that you did, because frankly, they don't give a shit. Sorry. I just have to tell it like it is. Go to their show, listen to a couple of episodes, maybe read a little bit of their other episodes that are out there, and then come up with two or three ideas and say, hey, Justin, here's a couple of ideas. I think I can bring value to your audience on this topic, that topic, or that topic. What do you think? And then send out the Facebook message or the email. Because now they're like, well, A, you've taken the time to listen to a couple of episodes. B, you've given me a couple of ideas I might not have even thought of. And C, you've shown me you've put a little time in it. And you're not just some Joe Schmo trying to get your face out there. Just some food for thought.
It makes it so much easier for the host to accept, because you already have kind of pitched like a plan for the episode. And they're like, oh, easy. Like, let's do that. Yeah. So great idea. Yeah. Tons of good stuff, Tracy. Let's tie it up there. But I know that coming from somebody who has experience, is always experience with a big podcast, hosting your own show is always going to be really, really valuable for people. And I'm happy that, you know, you're able to share some of that insider detail about your podcast. And I know that it's going to bring some value to people. So where do you want people to go if they want to check you out? Obviously your podcast, which we'll link below, but is there anywhere else?
No, the podcast is probably the best place. I put all the social connections up there at the top of the page. So if they go to that website, they can, you know, go check out the socials as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you guys know what the podcast is about. And if that's something that interests you, then please go to the show notes below. You can also just, I mean, check out what a super successful show looks like and sounds like and feels like, and just get a vibe for it. So go and click the link below and you'll get taken there. I think that's it, Tracy. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.